following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to your weekly soccer deep dive covering Europe and beyond, where I'll offer you insightful and memorable content. I'm your host, DJ Pa, and this is Off the Pitch. Welcome to the first episode of Off the Pitch. I'm DJ Pa, your host, and I'm ready to deep dive into the world of European soccer. So a little bit about myself. I fell in love with the game at age 5, and I was inspired by watching Manchester United every single weekend in the morning. And I love watching Chicharito and Wayne Rooney play, as well as Nani too. I was really inspired by the way that they were technical on their feet, but also were in the right position every single time to score a goal. I started playing soccer at age 6 in first grade, and I never looked back since then. Since that time, I've had over 12 years of playing experience in organized soccer in the league, and as well in high school too. I played through elementary school and middle school mostly as a striker. Since I watched Chicharito, I always wanted to score goals like him, and I was very into being up top and being very impactful when it came to scoring goals. When I got to high school, though, however, I wanted to switch positions to more of a central midfield role, so I played CDM. In freshman year, I was not able to play because of COVID. But the year after that, I was able to start as a sophomore and was the team's CDM. I was a captain senior year, and I won MVP for the team my junior and senior year. In all 3 years that I played, I got all league honors. And a little bit about myself is that I'm a big Man United fan and Real Madrid. And I also watch El Tri, which is the Mexican national team. I closely follow the Premier League and Champions League, which this show will primarily focus on. All right, let's get straight into it. So for the first segment of the show, I'm going to talk about some award predictions. So first, we're going to start out with the team of the year. It's going to be a starting 11 of people from the 2023 and 2024 season who I would want to shout out at every single position. So this award stopped in 2020, but I would like to continue in this show and just show who my standout players of the year were. So let's get it started. In goalie, I have Alisson Becker from Liverpool. In 39 games with Liverpool during the season, he only allowed 34 goals, which is the 98th percentile, with 13 total clean sheets as well. He also had a 73% save percentage, which is the 90th percentile of all goalies in the league. All right, going over to the right back, I have Dani Carvajal from Real Madrid. So he played 48 matches and 3,987 minutes last season. He only conceded about 0.45 goals per 90 minutes in La Liga, which is 99th percentile. He won the Champions League, La Liga, Supercopa, Euros, and Super Cup. And in the Champions League final, he was one of the scorers. My center back, I have Virgil van Dijk from Liverpool. He's in the 98th percentile of aerial duels won, and was only dribbled past twice in 36 Premier League matches last season. He was one of the best defenders when it came to shot blocked, clearances, and one-on-one defending. He's a really tough guy to get past because he's really fast and strong. My next center back, I have Antonio Rudiger from Real Madrid. He got drilled past only 5 times in 33 league matches. He had 19 clean sheets when he played. He was in the 99th percentile in shots blocked in the Champions League. He won everything with Real Madrid, like I mentioned with Carvajal, Champions League, La Liga, Supercopa. And my left back, I have Alejandro Grimaldo from Bayern Leverkusen. You may not know about him, but he was really impactful for Bayern's undefeated Bundesliga season. He had 16 clean sheets in 33 league matches. He scored 10 league goals, played over 4,300 minutes, and was vital to keeping that unbeaten streak alive for Leverkusen. He also won the Euros, wasn't as impactful as Carvajal because he didn't play as much, but he was really good for his club team. All right, for my CDM spot, I have Rodri from Manchester City. So he won the Premier League and the Euros and was pretty much the anchor of City's midfield and their main identity. He led the league in expected assists. He had 8 goals and 9 assists in the Premier League, which is insane for a defensive midfielder who usually stays back and defends most of the time. He led the league in successful passes, and pass completion rate. He played over 4,800 minutes, which include Champions League, Euros, and Premier League, and also League Cup. He's a very unique player for a defensive infielder. He likes to wait outside the box for any chances where he can try to score, but also he's a very good passer and defender in general. For my center mid spot, I have Jude Bellingham from Real Madrid. So Jude had 26 goals and 14 assists in 51 matches in all competition. He ranked 99th percentile in La Liga for goals per 90 minutes and goals plus assists per 90 minutes. As mentioned previously, he won every single trophy he could at Real Madrid, and unfortunately, he was runner-up in the Euros to Spain. If you do remember going back to the Euros, it was a semi-final. He had a crazy bicycle kick that was very clutch and needed for England that sent him to the final of the Euros. So that's who I have in my center mid spot. At my cam spot, I have Florian Wirtz from Bayer Leverkusen. As a 20-year-old, Wirtz dominated last season. He had 22 goal contributions in 32 league matches. He had 11 goals, 11 assists, which was 97th percentile. He led the league in expected assists, key passes, and successful dribbles. And if you don't know about Florian Wirtz, he was very impactful to Leverkusen's undefeated season, where he was a maestro in the midfield. He loved to dribble. He loved to shoot. He was never scared to shoot. As a 20-year-old, that's something you don't really see. And he also had a lot of pace. All right, left wing, Vinicius Jr. from Real Madrid. Not much to be said about him. Everybody knows him. He's a very pacey, technical winger. He had 26 goals, 12 assists in 48 matches for all competition. He had 6 goals and 4 assists in the 10 Champions League matches that he played, which he ended up winning. He was undefeated in the Champions League. He ranked 99th percentile in La Liga's goals per 90 minutes and goals plus assists per 90 minutes, just like Jude Bellingham. So just imagine having those two on your team. He ranked 99th percentile in dribbles and successful dribbles in La Liga. And he is a Ballon d'Or nominee because he won so many trophies this year. Now a striker, I have Erling Haaland from Manchester City. So this is the best goal scorer in the world currently. He had 47 goals in 53 matches played last season. He won the Golden Boot for the Premier League for the second straight year. He played 4,300 minutes. Unfortunately, did not qualify for the Euros, where he definitely would have scored more goals. But he's perfect for City's system, where they have a bunch of passers around him and surround him with a bunch of playmakers to get him in good spots for easy goals. My right winger, Cole Palmer from Chelsea. Cole is slowly becoming one of my favorite players in the world right now. I think his style of play is very unique and it's very fun to watch. So in Premier League last season, Cole Palmer had 22 goals and 11 assists, which is insane. That's 33 goal contributions. He ranked 99th percentile in Premier League's goals per 90 minutes. He had also 99th percentile in goals plus assists per 90 minutes, as well as expected goals per 90 minutes, and was 9-for-9 on penalties. Something about Cole is that he does not feel pressure or get nervous. That's why they call him Cole Palmer. He can play in the wing or in the central spot like in CAM, which makes him a great goal scorer and facilitator for Chelsea. So now we're going to get into like the individual awards, where I talk about Ballon d'Or, the Yashin Trophy, Copa Trophy, and Men's Coach of the Year. So for my Ballon d'Or, I had Vinicius Jr. As mentioned previously, Vinicius was involved heavily when it came to goal scoring and also assists. Again, I'll say he had 26 goals and 12 assists in 48 matches, which is insane. And then I'm going to say 10 of those goal contributions came in the Champions League, which was vital for Real Madrid as they ended up winning it all. So Vinicius Jr., he won La Liga, Champions League, the Copa del Rey, and the Supercopa last season for Real Madrid. Unfortunately, he did not finished successfully for his country, but he won everything you could have won for the club. And I think that he is the favorite right now to win the Ballon d'Or, which is incredibly deserved. He's such a great dribbler. He loves to have a show for his fans. And I think he's very impactful for Madrid's system when it comes to playing on the wing, using his pace to get past defenders and his dribbling to cut inside and look for people running inside the box or outside the box. And that's why I have him number one in my Ballon d'Or. My next trophy, I have the Yashin Trophy, which is the best goalie. And I have a bit of an underdog here, but I think he deserves it. So my winner here is Andriy Lunin. He was the backup for Courtois when he got hurt. At first, Kepa was kind of favored for Ancelotti, but Lunin proved himself with 10 clean sheets and 21 La Liga matches that he was the perfect backup when Courtois was hurt. He had a 74% save percentage, and he had 38 saves in Champions League, which was third, and he did not play all of the games. He took Madrid to the final of the Champions League, which I thought was pretty impressive, until Courtois was able to start in the final once he got fit. But I think that Lunin, he held it down for Madrid. I think that he was the clear better option than Kepa. And while Courtois was hurt, you could clearly see that Lunin had all the confidence in the world, and he did his job. For my next trophy here, I have the Copa Trophy, which is the Young Player of the Year. And I think this is no surprise here that I have Lamine Yamal. So Lamine Yamal, he was the 16-year-old sensation that dominated the Euros this past summer. He had a banger of the goal against France, which was outside of the box. And he also had 4 total assists in the Euros, which he ended up winning. He had 5 goals and 5 assists in 9 games for Barcelona this season already. So I think that he's just going to keep up his form and keep being an impactful player on the wing. He's very unique as he's kind of a modern winger. He loves to be technical with the ball. He is very fast, and he's gotten stronger over the summer, which I think that he will help out Barcelona exponentially. For my next trophy here, I have Men's Coach of the Year. I think this is the easy answer here, and it has to be Xavi Alonso. Xavi Alonso was unbeaten in 34 games in the Bundesliga last season, and his only loss of the whole calendar year was as a runner-up in the Europa League against Inter. Xavi's team scored 2.62 goals per game and only conceded 0.71. He had a ton of epic comebacks every single weekend, which included last-minute goals and impressive shots that tied the game as well. And my next section here, I'm going to go into a bit of a Premier League recap. I'm going to talk about Chelsea versus Brighton and Arsenal versus Leicester. So, Chelsea won 4-2 against Brighton on Saturday. Cole Palmer scored 4 goals. Yes, 4 goals. So as the game started, Palmer had an attack. He had a one-on-one against the keeper in which he hit the post. And then as another chance after that, he was offside in the buildup of his first goal. However, in the 21st minute, he got a square pass by Nico Jackson as the goalie was guarding him, and Palmer was able to put it away for his first of the game. The next chance, Sancho was fouled while dribbling in the box, and Palmer got the penalty, and he smashed it into the bottom left corner, and he made the keeper miss the opposite direction. He had a 31st minute banger of a free kick from 30 yards out, which was top bins in the top right corner. In the 41st minute, Sancho sends a through ball to the left side, and Palmer smashes it into the near post with his left foot. Next game, we had Arsenal take on Leicester City, which ended up being a 4-2 victory for Arsenal. Arsenal had 74% possession with 16 shots on goal on 36 attempts. 2 of Leicester's 3 shots on goal were by James Justin, and Arsenal had 400 more passes than Leicester. This included 2 late stoppage-time goals to seal the game for Arsenal. First, in the 93rd minute, Ian Deedy had an own goal, which gave Arsenal the lead. And then in the 99th minute, Havertz was able to clinch the game and send them home. So the final score there was 4-2, and it was very interesting to see how Arsenal dominated the possession, and Arsenal got very lucky at the end with those 2 last-minute goals, and it gave them the win. All right, well, thank you for listening to this episode of Off the Pitch. I'm your host, DJ Pa. Thank you so much. I'll see you next week.